Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us. We welcome you. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well. I hope you had a nice Christmas.
Oh, certainly did. Had a great opportunity to spend time with family and friends. And how was yours?
I went to Dallas, so to visit my brothers.
Great to have that family time, and we thank everyone for joining us today. Today we are celebrating the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Bishop, if you would now proclaim today's gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astounded, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, it seems at the heart of this gospel, it's an ordinary story about a family road trip, but there's, of course, much more to it.
I guess we've all talked about it that way. I've never heard it put that way. It certainly is, and flashing through my mind were a few family road trips we had, as organized or as peaceful or as dramatic as this one. We've all been on them.
And, of course, this is the Holy Family, and they were taking a pilgrimage that the faithful Jewish families took to Jerusalem for the Passover.
Yes, right. So it had a purpose. I mean, it's obviously not just a vacation. It certainly had a purpose, which at the center of their life, of course, was their faith and the normal practices of their faith at that time. And they were on this journey to Jerusalem, and Jesus stayed behind. But it's certainly this particular Sunday after the first Sunday after Christmas every year gives us an opportunity to acknowledge the fact that God chose to send his son into the world, which is the basic truth, through a virgin, Mary, which we celebrate throughout the year as well, especially with the Immaculate Conception and then the Annunciation, but also into a family, that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And even though we believe that they remained as a chaste couple, not having relations, but they certainly are the model family of what it means to be a family. And so we always have to pay attention to this Sunday in a very particular way, and especially today as the family is so threatened, and with the family, all of us. I mean, I think this is something we have to recognize, that the nature of family life needs to be re-looked at in our society today. It's one of the, I would say, projects of the new evangelization. I read something a few weeks ago. You know, the Pope gives Wednesday audiences. He speaks all the time. And in those, certainly brings out core values and core teachings for our faith. But one of the things he said I believe it was during the Synod on the New Evangelization, is that the crises of the family is at the very heart of the crises of the world. You know, we can all, I think, hopefully, we can all sense that to be true. But I think we have to embrace the fact that it is true. And on this Feast of the Holy Family, I would ask us to do that, not just to take it as kind of a casual saying or a casual thought, but how true it is that the crises of the family, in other words, the breakdown of the family in all of its dimensions, and that's economic, it is socially with the high rate of divorce, the high rate of teen pregnancies outside of the marital covenant, the call for same-sex marriage, the lack of education, the immigration where people are separated, and it goes on and on. If you really look at what is happening in the world, it all is affecting the family, whether people are separated because of poverty, of needing for work, so one goes, one has to leave the family and go somewhere else to earn a living, whether people are trying to allow government to define marriage, and there's something in our catechism I'd like to present that is interesting, the way we present it, whether it's a lack of education and the inability to get work, whether it's the inability or the lack of a know-how to relate to one another, social skills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It all impacts and really is devastating to the family today. You know, tax laws, so many things affect the family. And it's something that we need to look at, especially when we're looking at life issues. Because we can focus on the life in the womb, which we must. It's essential. I mean, it's the first. But the crisis even there is rooted in the crisis of the family. So we can't exclude one without the other. Mm-hmm. It's a all-encompassing issue. But I truly believe, as the Pope related a few months ago, that the crisis of the family is the crisis really that we're experiencing throughout the world.
And it is such a beautiful time to bring this up now, because as we begin the new year, it's something for us to really focus on. You're part of a family and things are not working out. What do you need to do to make things better? What do you need to do to rebuild and heal and move forward?
Sure. And I think that's true. As we look at some of these things from the catechism, that's really what I'd like to do, is look at some of the points that are made in our catechism and refer each of our listeners to that. It's actually under part 3 of the catechism, under the 4th commandment, to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. This is the 4th commandment of the Decalogue. But if you're in a family or in a situation right now where the family is suffering, certainly this is what I'm presenting is certainly not to criticize in any way, but it's a call for all of us to reexamine our own attitudes and what we can do with what we have. I mean, what our situation is, to recompose the family and to relook at what we can all do for the betterment of society and the betterment of children and the elderly, too. That's another issue. I think when you look at the crises, it's the crises of age, the end-of-life issues, mm-hmm. where the family being weak and disintegrating lacks even a respect for the elderly.
We all know that at any time in family life, things maybe they don't go according to what we expect or what we would like them to be. There'll always be challenges. And when more people are working together to work through those challenges and be supportive of one another in the family, of course, it makes it so much better.
Sure. And that's what and as we look at this, this is really the objective. We always have to be objective and look at the objective truth of, for example, the family, and not the subjective reality of each person's life. That's there. And we all have to ameliorate those the best we can. But that cannot deny, or we can't define what is objectively true by what is subjectively being lived in one person or several people's experience. So what I want to look at here in a few of these articles is, what is marriage? And just to begin, in this chapter on of marriage, it speaks of the nature of the family. And this is really being threatened. What is the nature of the family? And Article 2201 says that the conjugal community is established upon the consent of the spouses. Marriage and the family are ordered to the good of the spouses and to the procreation and education of children. So it has a dual purpose. Marriage is, first of all, for the good of the couple, the spouses, in a conjugal relationship. It is to build each other up in an expression, the intimate expression of love, which is exclusive to the man and the woman. And that's a covenant relationship. We don't speak of a contract. We speak of a covenant relationship. It has that and the procreation of children. Many years ago, we spoke about, you know, marriage was for children, but it lacked that that understanding that is also for the good of the couple to build up the relationship of love. And then goes on, the love of the spouses and the begetting of children create among members of the same family personal relationships and primordial responsibilities. I think that thing of personal relationship is so important, because that's what's lacking in our society. This is when the family breaks down, human relationships break down. I don't know how to relate to people because I've not learned that in that primordial relationship and responsibility that I find in my family. We learn to correct each other. We learn to respect each other. We learn to speak to one through our family and to challenge. But if I don't have that, then a person can't do that. And then just one other, before the break, one other article. A man and a woman united in marriage together with their children form a family. A man and a woman together with the children form a family. This institution is prior to any recognition by public authority, which has an obligation to recognize it. It should be considered the normal reference point by which the different forms of family relationships are to be evaluated.
Well, this is a lot to think about this morning. Bishop, we thank you for your insight and your words this morning. As we take a short break, we will continue our conversation on the family. You are listening to Our Shepherd's View. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and we are reflecting on the family. Of course, today we celebrate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and in keeping with that, there are some passages in the Catechism that talk directly about family. It's 2202, found on page 532 of the Catechism, and of course, this focuses on family.
It is, and it's a challenging one because it involves civil law and what we're experiencing today. But I think it's important that we go back and again listen to the objective truth of this, that speaking of the family as a man, a woman, together with the children. And then it says this institution, this family, is prior to any recognition by public authority. So the family exists by God's plan, by natural law. I mean, it's written in our hearts that that we want to be and that we come from a family. So this is something that precedes any civil order. But it also says, but the civil order, the public authority, has the obligation to recognize it, the obligation to recognize it, institution. Let's back up. Man, woman, children. This is what a family is. It should be considered the normal reference point by which the different forms of family relationships are to be evaluated. So we start with mother and father and children, and then we have grandparents, we have cousins, we have aunts and uncles, but none of that substitutes the original family that we're all a part of, that we all come from by nature, by who we are. And so the role of civil authority is to protect it, to recognize it and to protect it, not to redefine it. That's not their role. And we see this way too often in what we're experiencing in life today, not only in our country but throughout the world, of the government redefining things that are institutions given by God that are natural, that are natural law, God's law, and trying to redefine it, even in terms of life. What is life? Life, you know, begins when a person's born. No, life begins in the womb. It's not up to the government to make those decisions and to define those things, nor is it their right to define what marriage is, nor to define when life has no more value or when life should be ended, etc. This is God's realm. This is God's creation. But the more we eliminate God, even from the family, the more we're in trouble, and we relegate all the things that are written in our hearts as human beings to a government which can come and go. You know, they're in and out, they're in and out, and laws change according to that. That's not the way, that doesn't speak to the dignity of the human person. It doesn't speak to the dignity of the family, that every time there's a new mentality sitting in civil government, the things change.
It doesn't have the moral compass that this does. It doesn't provide that direction.
Very good. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what this paragraph is speaking to. This is the normal reference point, that the family is the mother, the father, the children, and all other relationships are referenced from that core family, which is the mother and the father and the children. And the role of civil government is to protect and to recognize that this is our God-given right to be and live in a family. And this is where government should assist in education, in the elimination of poverty, in the elimination of injustice, of helping families that are alienated because of immigration or whatever, and on and on and on and on and on. That's their role, is to order society for the good of the human person, the good of the family, to assist us to keep people together, to keep families together, not to break them apart simply because of the lack of understanding, the misunderstanding of human life. Just to point out some other things that are written, and then I want to kind of conclude our segment with something from Benedict XVI, who speaks of the family very beautifully. But in the Catechism, as it goes on, it speaks of the family as the domestic church, and not to substitute the universal church. We are part of that as well. But it is a domestic church where there is this communion of persons. If we identify and define the church as a communion of persons with the commandment to love one another, then the family is at the heart of that. Given that commandment, mother, father, husband, wife, children, to love one another, to defer to one another, they are then the domestic church. It also refers to the family as the original cell of social life. Again, if a family is not healthy in those relationships, then it has tremendous implications on society because I'm socialized. You were socialized in our families. I mean,
right.
That's where we learned to be who we are, not sent out on the streets to learn from others, or sent to school and, you know, at the whim of all things that were coming in and coming out. That's not where I learned my values and my morals and my ability to relate socially. I learned in the family.
Exactly.
I was corrected, et cetera, et cetera.
Usually sitting around the dinner table.
Exactly. Many, many stories there. It also, continuing on in this particular article on the family, it said it illuminates other relationships in society. We see that. I the other day was passing through the airport. You know, there were a couple of young families, you know, in the airport. And just, I don't know, to me, it's like a meditation, just watching the interaction of the children with each other, with their parents, the interaction of husband and wife, you know, like it's your turn to go run after her down the walkway there, and it's your turn, and I'll grab this one, you grab this one. I mean, we should see the joy of family life and really meditate, contemplate, because it illumines our relationships, and not in myself, You know, not being married, it was even on the plane, there was a couple sitting in front of me. And at the end, I don't know if they're listening, but anyway, she turned to me and she said, "Wow, I don't know how we did." And I said, "I thought you were very, very good. You did an excellent job." She said, "Well, I didn't think so." But, you know, you look at that and not being married, not having children, you realize that there is a certain expertise that they have in dealing with each other that I may have dealing like with priests or others, but I can learn from them. The patience that you see in a couple, the consistency in correction or whatever, you learn values from the family. And so it illuminates other relationships in society. And the other thing we have to always remember that the family is, that human communities are made up of persons. These are people. And each person is unique. Each person is different. I mean, I'm sure every mother and father, every brother and sister can look at their brothers and sisters and see them grow and change, but realize that each one is unique, but each one is a human person. So the family is a rich wellspring of social life and social education, really, for all of us. And so on this family, this feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we certainly need to be conscious and aware, and all of us rededicate ourselves to the health of promoting the family as it was meant by God, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, and children, and preserving that. We have a long road to go because the disintegration has really reached epic proportions, I would say. But our laws for education, for poverty, against poverty, against trafficking, against drugs, violence, et cetera, all those really serve the family, which the family then serves society. The heart of the family, the heart of society is the family. The disintegration of the family is the disintegration of a society. That's something we should not forget on this very special and holy day.
And the beautiful words that we began with this morning from the Magnificat.
Right. And I think it would be good. It's kind of we probably have just enough time to almost read it as a meditation as we conclude after all we've spoken about. He says, "The family is the privileged setting where every person learns to give and receive love. The family is an intermediate institution between individuals and society, and nothing can completely take its place. The family is a necessary good for peoples, an indispensable foundation for society, and a great and lifelong treasure for couples. It is a unique good for children, who are meant to be the fruit of the love, of the total and generous self-giving of their parents. The family is also a school which enables men and women to grow to the full measure of their humanity. O God, who in the Holy Family left us a perfect model of family life, lived in faith and obedience to your will, help us to be examples of faith and love for your commandments." Written by Benedict XVI.
Isn't that beautiful? It's all beautiful, but there's a line in there that says, "The family is also a school which enables men and women to grow to the full measure of their humanity." It's definitely a lesson that needs to be at the center of it all, because if things go awry and there's some difficulty, you don't just walk out. You stay and you learn and you grow. You deepen your commitment to family. You work through it.
Exactly. And you look at, what did we learn in school? We learned that there's a schedule. I mean, you know, there's homework to be done. There's remedial time. And all of that, it really is, the family is a place. So it really is to gather the family together. And especially I would encourage us to gather around a meal every day, at least once a week, if not every day, because that is a true place. That's like the school table.
It's a place for serious conversations and probably a lot of laughter, too.
And a lot of sharing. I think a lot of the problems is we don't share with each other. because that's where we learn who we are. So God bless all of our families, and those of you who may be hurting for the lack of that family, we pray for you today as well.
If you could end our program now with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who are pleased to give us the shining example of the Holy Family, graciously grant that we may imitate them in practicing the virtues of family life in the bonds of charity, and so in the joy of your house delight one day in eternal rewards. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I'm Jesse DeLeon, and on behalf of Bishop Michael Mulvey, we wish you and your family a very happy new year. May God bless you.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.